Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday, October 22nd. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. And a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries to talk about today. Don't want to beat around the bush. So here you go. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I actually used FTNFantasy.com just about 5 minutes ago to get some action in on this Celtics-Knicks game. So how you like me now? You could do that too. FTNFantasy.com. All right. Last night, we'll do some of the good, and then obviously we have to do a bunch of the bad. The good, the Ravens. Wow. Lamar Jackson is playing at an MVP level. He is the favorite to win the award yet again. 281 and 5 touchdowns, ran for 52 yards. Wow. He's been awesome. And I'm not worried about, you know, down performance for Zay Flowers. I'm not going to go too crazy about a peak performance for Rashad Bateman or for Mark Andrews for that matter, because really the straws that stir the drink here, Derrick Henry, 15 for 169. He's on pace to break the single season record. He's on pace to be the only player in NFL history with two 2,000 yard seasons. DH2K, incredible. And he also scored as a receiver, but that's it. You know, they're awesome. And I'm not worried about Zay Flowers. Rashad Bateman, he's just going to be boom or bust, but he's going to have some, apparently, some big performances, and I'm okay with that. Over to the other side, I don't want to bury the lead. Let's talk about the two injuries. So it looks almost certain Chris Godwin is done for the season. He's going to undergo surgery for an ankle injury that you know is bad when they don't show you the replay. This sucks. He was having a career year. He was one of the top receivers in fantasy football. He was giving you a massive return on investment, and now that's not going to be the case. The other injury is Mike Evans. Now, this is a much shorter term injury. We're trying to get the sense of the extent of the injury, but my first thing I always do when a player gets hurt at this time of year when the bye weeks are in play is look to see where the bye is if it hasn't already happened. And guess what? It's in week 11. Week 8, week 9, week 10. Probably not going to see Mike Evans. Just tossing that out there. My expectation, a week 12 return. That's not official, but I've seen this happen far too often in this league. So that means three games without. What do we do from there? And I want to be clear about this because I don't know what causes this in a lot of people, but when a player is hurt, people, like a wide receiver is hurt, people go, well, how does it impact the running backs? And it's like, they don't play the same position. So it really doesn't. Their running backs are the running backs, and it's still a full-blown committee with three backs in the backfield. Rashad White is the lead. Bucky Irving is the second back. So White, like fringe RB2, obviously he was better than that in this game because of the two touchdowns, but that's where he is. Irving is a flex, and then Sean Tucker is like a deeper stash. He's just not going to play enough with those other two healthy to be viable. It doesn't impact them. It really doesn't. It impacts the pass catchers. And yes, Rashad White catches footballs into the backfield. He's going to do that whether or not Chris Godwin plays, whether or not Mike Evans plays. So the biggest beneficiary is Kate Otten. 8 for 100 in this game. He's going to be viable. But then from there, I think Jalen McMillan is probably the most interesting, more so than Trey Palmer. Trey Palmer led in routes run, but Jalen McMillan had 8 targets. So they're going to look to him, but neither one of them is that appealing. And ultimately, we just have to wait and see until Evans comes back. Now, I was asked about Baker Mayfield. Is he more of a streamer? Well, my move with Baker, because he's been essentially the second best quarterback in fantasy football this season, only Lamar has been better, is let's see what happens this week. I don't think he's going to stop throwing the football, and I still think he's going to be able to deliver. Now, it does hurt the cause a little bit in the short term, but let's see. Let's see what happens this week. Of course, I'll have him ranked accordingly, and honestly, he's not in the holy crap, you have to keep him no matter what portion of the fantasy player universe here. I don't think there are many quarterbacks that are, but you know, if you don't want to continue on with him, you drop him and you move on to the next guy. There's no reason to carry two quarterbacks in fantasy, except like if you have Lamar during his bye week Okay. Very few quarterbacks are in that conversation right now. The other game, fortunately, was very boring. I'm not worried about Marvin Harrison Jr. You can read into it whatever you want to read into it. They didn't throw the ball that much. Kyler had 14 completions, and they didn't, you know, they leaned on James Conner. So boom or bust. Sometimes he'll go bust, sometimes he'll go boom, but maybe it's a good time to buy low on Marvin Harrison Jr. On the other side, it was nice to see Herbert throwing the ball. Still no, you know, didn't throw for a passing score. That sucks, but they're getting going a little bit there, which is encouraging, and that's pretty much all I have to say there. All right, let's rip through the injury news. Obviously, we already got to the Tampa guys, but there's more to it than that. Oh, and real quick, Jameson Williams is going to be suspended for 2 games for violating the performance-enhancing substance policy. All right, 2 games is 2 games. Not a big deal. Let's move over to, though, these injuries. All right, San Francisco, we have to start here. First and foremost, Brandon Ayuk, season ender. That sucks. We'll talk about who could benefit here in waivers in a minute. Deebo Samuel, taken to the hospital with fluid in his lungs, believed to have pneumonia. The good news is he can recover from that, obviously. But the bad news is we don't know how quickly. So we shall see. Christian McCaffrey will not be back this week. Kyle Shanahan said he'd be surprised if he was back. That's a Kyle way of saying, no, he's not going to be back. Looks like an early November return. Okay, so in the meantime here, we're going to need somebody to step up in the target pecking order for Brandon Ayuk. I have that somebody. And then somebody else to fill in the gaps. And I have that somebody. I'll get into that, like I said, with waivers. Deshaun Watson, it is season ending. I think it'll be Jameis. But it's me saying I think. It's not me saying I know. I just don't see how Dorian Thompson-Robinson gives him any chance. At least Jameis gets them somewhat of a chance. I mean, he's going to throw interceptions, but whatever. They did also sign Bailey Zappe off of the Chiefs practice squad. You are allowed to do that. You just have to sign him to the active roster, and that's what they did. But I don't think it'll be Bailey Zappe. Let's move to DK Metcalf. Okay, so it's a grade one MCL. There is a world where he plays this week. He is being called week to week. His head coach did say, though, he's going to do his darndest to get out there this week. That tells me, even though week to week, this is a short-term injury. However, there is one problem. If we look to the Seattle Seahawks schedule, week 8, Buffalo, week 9, Rams, week 10, bye. Could be looking at a week 11 return for DK Metcalf. In the short term, I mean, we'd be looking at Tyler Lockett to step up a little bit. He's boring, but that's fine. Obviously, Jackson Smith and Jigba. We could see a little Jake Bobo, but that's probably more of a DFS thing than it is a season-long fantasy football thing. Jaden Daniels, week to week, not expected to play this week, but very likely could play next week. Sounds like it's more pain tolerance than anything. They have Marcus Mariota. He played fine. He could be a super flex fill-in. You know, you have the Bears this week, a tough defense. Then you get the Giants, not as tough. You get Pittsburgh after that, but I would expect him to be back for the Giants game in week 9. Tua Tagovailoa designated to return. That is good news right there. It'll help if you've been dealing with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. That'll definitely help. And to a very much a top 15 when he's in there. Chris Olave, the report is he could return this week. We've heard that he's still in concussion protocol, duh. But could return this week. That's good. We don't know if Derek Carr is going to return this week, but it sounds like that is a distinct possibility. So we have that. Moving to the Thursday night game, we are sort of in wait and see mode on TJ Hockenson, but he's limited in practice. Aaron Jones limited as well, which is actually good for him. We don't know how much Cooper Kupp's going to be used, but he will be back. So that's good. We do think, based on what Sean McVay said, Jordan Whittington will be used more, but we don't know how much. Yay. Jonathan Taylor could be back this week. There's optimism he practices. Just because he practices doesn't mean he's back, but it would be moving in the right direction. Juju Smith-Schuster will not play this week. That's a multi-week absence. No doubt about it. Essentially, they had a bye already, so we don't have that little trick up our sleeve. But the multi-week absence, I mean, I don't know if there's much value to holding him. I have him on a roster. I'm going to have to drop him. You know, it was worth a shot. The shot didn't hit. We move on to the next one. Let's see. Beyond that, there was a few with Tennessee. Tajay Spears could be back this week. But we do not expect Will Levis back this week, so we'll get another week of Mason Rudolph. Aiden O'Connell's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Cool. Uncle Rico's back in. That's about it on that front. So there's the injury stuff. All right, let's rip into top 10 waiver ads for the week. Just a reminder, this is from the Waiver Wire tool over at ftnfantasy.com. Instead of giving you a silly article where you have to scroll around and blah, 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 I decided, let's forget about the article. You know, let's put this thing into a tool that we can actually use so we can sort, we can filter, you know, we can look just by position or whatever, whatever you want to do. And then you have a little blurb from me. It's very short because I know you're not reading a 250 words on these players anyway. I know you. I know you're not going to do that. So it also allows me to update it. So I've already updated this a whole bunch of times. I put up an initial on Mondays. I think yesterday was like 12:30 when it went up. And then I worked on it throughout the day. And then I worked on it this morning. And guess what? I'm still working on it. I still added an additional player even since I got off the air on SiriusXM. So I think here's the main point. Keep going back to this thing. Like if you're listening to this podcast and it's, let's say, Tuesday evening, like you're about to go put your waiver claims in, just go back and double check. It may not exactly be what I say here. Granted, the top guys are going to remain the same, but just go back and check. And if you don't have access to it, seriously, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. All right, top of the board here is Tyrone Tracy. He's going to go 12 to 25% for me. The good news is if you're a follower of this podcast, of the radio show, of the waiver wire tool at FTN, you probably picked up Tyrone Tracy 3 weeks ago when I did, or how long ago was that? I mean, we all picked him up so much earlier. It's better to be proactive than reactive on waivers. If you're reactive, you pick up a guy after he has the big game. If you're proactive, you have the guy when he finally has the big game. And I will tell you, there is nothing better than having the guy who's the top waiver ad of the week. You already have him on your roster. I mean, you don't get to be there when your opponents go to waivers looking for that guy and then realize he's sitting on your bench. Like, you don't get to see that reaction, but you know in your head that they're a little pissed about it. That's awesome. That's playing proactively. The reactive players, and you know, I've talked about this a whole bunch on the SiriusXM show, maybe not as much here, because the SiriusXM show is a bit of a bit, you know, it's like entertaining. Like, this is just straightforward information on this podcast. But I keep talking about these people who wake up at 3 a.m. to like save their waiver priority and go and work waivers. Like, that's so excessive. And really, honestly, it's a reactive way of playing. It's not a proactive way of playing. Like, the proactive folks get sleep on Tuesday nights. But it's a reactive way. Like, you're reacting. And honestly, saving the priority, when does that really work? Especially if you're proactive. Like, cool, you saved your priority for Tyrone Tracy, except, you know, the proactive person picked him up 3 weeks ago. You know, it doesn't work. It's a flawed strategy. And those people will fight to the death over justifying it. But it doesn't work, man. Being proactive is what works. The leagues where I've had the best waiver pickups ever aren't the ones where I picked him up after he had a big game. It's the ones where I picked him up 3 weeks before he had the big game and then went from there, because you get him so cheap. So Tyrone Tracy, he outsnapped Devin Singletary 37 to 12. If he is out there, he shouldn't be any longer in your leagues. And yeah, this past week wasn't great, which actually may help you because, you know, those who sort by points scored, he didn't score a lot of points, but I believe in that team that they will have decent games here and there. They're not always going to be like they were against Philadelphia Eagles. Number two is Juwan Jennings. Okay, so I talked about the San Francisco thing. Here is my general sense. Jennings does not play Ayuk's position, and he won't play Ayuk's position. It's not like he's going to move over to that. He's going to continue to play that primary slot role. However, the target distribution is more important than the position here. Debo, when he's out there, will see his work. But Jennings, we know there is a real connection between him and Brock Purdy. Now, he was hurt last week, could very well be back out there this week. If he was widely dropped, if he was dropped in your leagues because he was widely dropped, then go out and get him. 12 to 25% going forward here, plenty of opportunities. Romeo Doubs, also 12 to 25%. He followed up That week six performance, remember, he was suspended in week five. Week six scores two touchdowns. Week seven gets 8 on 10 for 94. He's the lead wide receiver in Green Bay. He doesn't come off the field like Jaden Reed in two wide receiver sets, and he doesn't rotate like Christian Watson and Dontavian Wicks. Like, I'm not interested in Dontavian Wicks. Like, you'll notice he's not in the tool. Why? Haven't we done this already this season? Haven't we chased last week's points already once? How did that work? As opposed to Romeo Doubs, who does it in back-to-back weeks. I don't know. More interested there. Then it kind of tails off. I have Alexander Mattison 7 to 15%. I don't love Alexander Mattison, but this shows you what kind of week it is on waivers. You might be in a position where you need running back help. A lot of people do. As opposed to trying to sell like some of my wide receiver depth, which this season has shown us wide receiver depth is so stinking important. I would much rather, you know, try and trade for, I would much rather just pick up these guys off of waivers. I don't want to try and sell wide receiver depth to trade for a running back because I need that depth. So I'm going to go out and get Madison if I need to, right? 7 to 15%. Then two quarterbacks at 5 and 6, Sam Darnold to Tua Tagovailoa. Sam Darnold is at least in the fringe QB1 conversation, like, which means that he's very startable. Even this week with no teams on bye, he's very startable. I've not done rankings yet. They'll be up later today at ftnfantasy.com, but he is very startable against the Rams. You know, very, very startable. As for Tua, and these guys are 5 to 10%. If I'm talking about a streaming quarterback, I never want to go higher than 10% because think about it. If you have 10% bids, you only can do 10 of those and then you're out of money. Well, there's more than 10 weeks in the season. And if you're streaming quarterbacks, you want to make sure you give yourself a runway there. So I wouldn't go excessive here. And I am still viewing both of these guys more as streamers because there are very few guys you can set your watch to at quarterback this year. So Tua, yeah, we run a risk, of course, but we know what the ceiling looks like and it's pretty stinking good. You know, he's going to throw the ball around the yard to Tyreek. He's going to throw it to Jalen Waddle. It's a very good situation. So there are worse things out there. And he's more widely available than Darnold. At number 7, I gave him the nickname back. If you listen to me for years now, you probably know this nickname. If you're new to me, well, here's the nickname. Hunter Henry. Yes, with a D. No, that is not how you pronounce his last name. It is a Joe Pesci joke from Goodfellas. Hey, Henry! That's where it comes from. And I used to call him that when he was with the Chargers. And then he went to the Patriots and was stuck in quarterback purgatory for a few years here. So he lost the nickname. But he got it back thanks to Drake May. Scores 2 weeks ago. He catches 8 of 9 for 92 yards this past week. Okay, now we're starting to cook with a little bit of gas. Is Hunter Henry an every week starter? No. That's why I'm only going 5 to 10% here. But could he be? Perhaps. And this is where, you know, again, a little bit more proactive. Like, we got him cheaper last week, but we're still a little proactive here. I don't mind it. Rico Dowdle comes in at 8, only 4 to 7%. Like, we're already down into this range. The reason why I have him in here is he is under 70% on Yahoo. He's at very nice 69%, 63% on ESPN. So he's out there in enough leagues. Ezekiel Elliott is obviously toast. I don't know if Dalvin Cook ever is activated. So that kind of leaves us here with Dowdle. He's the best option they have. He should have a role. He should at least be on rosters. Like, this isn't an implied value guy. This is a guy who could be a flex or better. And he's that widely available. It is a little surprising. So I think he's worth grabbing. You grab him on the cheap because he's coming off a bye. Ricky Pearsall, 4 to 7%. All right, so I already talked about Juwan Jennings. Pearsall probably is best suited as a slot, though they could end up putting him, you know, it's kind of a toss-up right now. I'm trying to figure out, do they go with Chris Conley, the veteran who actually probably profiles better for Brandon Ayuk's role, or do they put Pearsall in there, or is there some form of rotation? I am not interested in Chris Conley for fantasy. Maybe that changes, but as of right now, I am not. I am interested in Pearsall. He played the entire game. There is opportunity potentially as well with Debo banged up. So I think he is a worthy dart to throw. But keep in mind, I'm not at Juwan Jennings' numbers here. 12 to 25% on Jennings. I'm only at 4 to 7% on Pearsall. Not going overboard with him, but he's worth it. He's worth a dart. And then rounding out the top 10, I have Zach Charbonnet here. He is available in enough leagues to make the tool. He's available 35% of ESPN, actually 45% of Yahoo, 4 to 7%. Now, if I have Kenneth Walker, I'd be foolish to not be rostering Zach Charbonnet unless I'm in a 4-bench spot league. You can't handcuff in 4 bench spots. Like, all those bench spots have to be occupied by players who can actually start for you. You just can't handcuff. It's just not doable. Minimum would be like 6 bench spots. That's like bare minimum. I'd love to have 8 bench spots in like regular size leagues. Then I can definitely handcuff. But regardless, I need him. He's clearly a handcuff. He is not a startable option. However, if you are in those regular or deep bench leagues, it isn't terrible to have one implied value guy, especially in a situation where we've seen Walker miss time this season. We also saw him almost miss time this past week with an illness. Now, granted, not an injury, but still, it's just a friendly reminder. Like, Zach Charbonnet is top 15, if not top 12, when Walker is out. We've already seen it. This is not speculation. This is not me tossing out what I think, feel, or believe. We saw it. He's an every down guy. So that is the type of player, if you're going to have an implied value guy, forget about Blake Corum. Like, it's Zach Charbonnet, that type of player. Now, Corum, to be fair, and I do have him way deeper on the waiver wire tool, is a guy that if I have Kyren Williams, then you better believe I would rather have Corum over Charbonnet because I'm protecting my asset. That's the whole idea. Like, I'm not protecting, like, if Kyren Williams goes down and I have Charbonnet but not Blake Corum, well, I'm kind of screwed because I would need not only Kyren to go down, I would also need Kenneth Walker to go down. And those two are not dependent on each other. Whereas if I have Kyren and I have Corum and Kyren goes down, I still at least have Corum. I do not expect Corum to produce like Kyren, but at least I have him. All right. That's going to do it for today. FTNFantasy.com for the waiver wire tool. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I'm on the FTN Fantasy podcast feed tomorrow, so check that out. In the meantime, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. We're making the turn, second half of the fantasy football regular season. All right, I'll catch you on a flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.